Praline Marks, good morning from Israel. How are you?
Good morning. Let me tell you, I take such comfort in those wise words and the reports that I get to hear every Friday morning from Dr. Marburg.
Yeah, it is. And I think it is important that the numbers are coming down, and they're certainly by no means down. We need to be very cautious still, but let's at least celebrate that. Nothing to celebrate at the United Nations, though.
Nothing to celebrate at the United Nations, and they didn't get the memo that tomorrow is Tu B'Av. It is the Jewish Day of Love, because clearly they are not showing any kind of love for us. So basically what has happened is that the United Nations Human Rights Commissioner, who ironically hails from South Africa, Nabi Pele, it has been announced that she will lead a UN inquiry into systematic abuses in Israel and the Palestinian territories. This is the wording that it's given. I mean, we know where this is going.
In other words, it includes the finding. In the brief.
Without
you've got to love it. You've just got to love it.
You can't make this up, Howard. And this is to look at Operation Guardians of the War, which were those 11 days in May. I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking to myself that it's just a little over 2 months, and you know, we've got over 1 million Uyghur Muslims in concentration camps in China. We've had a civil war for many years in Syria on our doorstep. You know, we've got conflicts all over the world, at least 120 different conflicts over the world. God damn, are they timeless with this one, Howard?
Absolutely. I mean, never mind during this time, Ethiopia and the bombing of civilians at a marketplace, Nigeria, where children and teachers, primary school children, kidnapped. But this one, and this has all happened in the last couple of months, but this one, they're very organized. Wow, you've got to admire their efficiency.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's almost as if they don't see any other conflict in the world, Howard, to zero in on. I mean, I'm just saying.
And it's just remarkable. So just tell us, who's heading this up? You say she's South African.
This will be headed up by Nabi Pele. She was the former commissioner of the chief of the UN Human Rights Council, and not somebody who loves us terribly much. Some rumors that she benefited financially with her education from Jewish organizations, that of course we will have to investigate a little bit more. But Navi saying this is exactly what she thinks of Israel. She's also one to pass anti-Israel resolutions at the drop of a hat. This is where we are. So she will be heading an investigation or inquiry, I think is the word they're using for this one, into systematic abuses. I wonder if she's going to look into, you know, those genocidal charters, those uses of human shields, that putting your R&D office in the media building. You know, I'm just curious about this.
It's just remarkable, and you just wonder at what point this whole United Nations Human Rights Council falls over completely. Are we getting to that point, or is this just going to continue as it is, as a sham for years?
Well, I think until major countries start taking a stand, we saw it with the Trump administration taking a stand against the UNHRC, putting them on notice at every given opportunity. Israel, of course, has just said, you know what, we know what you're all about and we actually can't be bothered with you. But until I think other major powers start saying, you know, hang on a minute, we've got a problem here, or maybe they're just scared that they could also be investigated for human rights abuses. I mean, show me a country that has a perfect record here. But I think until there is significant pressure on them to change from several countries, I don't think we're going to see this rabid obsession with the UN Human Rights Council towards Israel go anywhere, anytime soon. I think maybe they should employ Ken Roth from Human Rights Watch. I mean, he's wasted there
for balance,
at a human rights organization. He should be there. I mean, his obsession this week is...
Well, good. I actually wanted to ask you about that, because he became a bit of a social media, clown this week. What happened?
Well, tweet of the week has to come from Fleur Hassan Nahum. She's the deputy mayor of Jerusalem, who says he's half-baked. But anyway, Ken Roth, who is the head of Human Rights Watch, put out a tweet earlier this week basically blaming rising anti-Semitism in the UK. I mean, he's obviously not seen that it's rising around the world. He blamed it on the Israeli government. So anybody who's got half a concern about human rights, and of course many of us active on social media, just tore into him, saying, you know, a way to blame the victim, Ken. You know, would you blame a woman who's a victim of rape? Would you blame the Asian community for being victims of persecution and so on? Why Jews? You know, why the use of the word "but"? And instead of apologizing, he tweeted after that. He says, "Interesting how my words have been taken as anti-Semitic. I don't know how, but I was taught like..."
Maybe because they were.
When you hear hoofbeats, think horses, not zebras. I don't know. Maybe I've got it all wrong. But this is what he did. And, of course, again, a big pile-on. And eventually he took down his tweet, but tweeted out that he says, you know, his words have been misconstrued as anti-Semitic. However, no acknowledgement of any hurt or offense caused, no apologies were forthcoming. And he spent the rest of the 24-hour period just tweeting about Israel, just tweeting basically, anti-Israel tweets, anti-Jewish tweets. And I think that really he needs a job at the United Nations.
I think it would be a perfect place for him. But while all of this is happening, there's been tremendous positivity. Israel rejoining the AU. Just tell us about that.
It has been an extraordinary week of positive news on the diplomatic front for Israel. I mean, some people have not gotten the memo about this, and, you know, sorry for them, but we're not going to talk about that because I'm lactose intolerant after this week. But we had incredible news yesterday that the African Union will now be joined, albeit with observer status, by Israel. This is a really, really great turn of events. When the Organization of African Union was dissolved in 2002, Israel was basically excluded. And now we have, after a efforts, I would say, by our foreign ministry, by our embassies across the African continent, and just by increasing discourse. You see what conversations lead to, Howard. We have been readmitted with observer status, and lovely, lovely to see our ambassador to Ethiopia. His name is Alalil Admasu. He will represent us on the African Union. He presented his credentials to the chairperson yesterday, His Excellency Moussa Faki Mahamat. He is the chairperson of the African Union. He is from Burundi. Really, really wonderful to see that happening. But we can't forget that Israel has diplomatic relations with 46 countries in Africa, including South Africa. We still have formal diplomatic ties there. And, you know, Israel and African countries cooperate in so many different fields: trade, aid, agriculture, a massive one, cyber security, so many wonderful, wonderful areas. And many African countries are starting to believe, why do we have to take sides in any kind of conflict in the Middle East, which of course is the way that it should be. Is that you should be able to cooperate with different countries, different peoples, without having to take sides, especially when a country like Israel has so much and does so much to contribute to the African continent. And this is really, really great. And hopefully, while we're talking about these international organizations that seem to be obsessed with Israel, hopefully this will also have bearing there. that we will see more African countries aligning with Israel when it comes to anti-Israel resolutions and also taking a stand against this very, very unhealthy obsession.
Absolutely. And while this was happening, there was a high-level conversation between Israeli officials and Abbas. So that is also a very, very interesting and positive development, I would imagine.
We have seen huge strides this past week when it comes to cooperation and discourse between Israel and the Palestinian Authority. Mahmoud Abbas phoned our new president, Isaac Herzog, to wish him Mazal Tov very, very soon after he took office. He was also followed very quickly by Erdogan from Turkey, which is also significant because relations between the two countries have been quite sour for the last couple of years. And Erdogan saying, you know, we want to increase cooperation. Strangely enough, he referred to the change in presidents as something positive. We don't quite know why he would say that, because he didn't have any kind of aggressive discourse or angry discourse with President Rivlin. So there was just some speculation that was some odd language. But Turkey is still very influential in the region. Then we had Abbas phoning Herzog talking about cooperation. And then earlier this week, our defense minister, Benny Gantz, he had a conversation and made public with Abbas. They spoke about cooperation, regaining trust. The defense minister wished him Eid al-Adha Mubarak, which is a happy Eid. It is a holy time for Muslims. And then yesterday we had the incredible news of yet another phone call, this time between Abbas and the public securities minister, Omer Bar-Lev, also talking about cooperation. And incredible news coming in this morning in an interview with the Media Line newspaper, the Palestinian Authority's Hussein al-Sheikh. He is one of the closest aides to Abbas. He is a leading figure in the PA hierarchy, and he's actually the point person that Israel and the United States speaks to with regards to any kind of negotiations, any kind of conversations. And he has said that the PA is ready for direct talks with Israel. This is very, very significant.
Just incredible. And it's so fascinating because everybody was concerned that Bennett was obviously much more right of even of Netanyahu, and yet somehow it's just this new environment. Perhaps it's the government that he's put together, but it really is incredible. I don't want to leave without talking about the Olympics. We know that, of course, and we of course remember Munich and the situation there, that when we had this terrible attack and murder of 11 athletes in Munich. How does Israel deal with this memory and reality every time the Olympics come around?
Well, in Israel, the preservation of memory, as you know, is very, very important. It's part of our psyche. It's very much part of the Jewish psyche. If you are ever in Tel Aviv, you will see just very close, and this is on Weizen Street, you'll see very close to the Ichilov Hospital, there's a memorial to the coaches and the athletes. And it always warms my heart because, you know, not only is it a memorial, but sometimes wrestler is spelled wrestler and sometimes it's spelled wrestler. But that I find kind of endearing because it's kind of the Israeli way. But we do take time, whatever the occasion may be. I mean, you know, at a wedding, we break the glass to signify the destruction of the temple. So in Israel, we take the bitter with the sweet. And as we get behind Team Israel at the Olympics, and yes, people, there are sports we're good at, things like windsurfing and judo and fencing and stuff. We're very good fencers, by the way. We are.
Which is interesting because we never sit on that fence. But anyway, yes.
Touché. But we we will pause and we will reflect that 49 years ago, our team went to the 1972 Olympics in Munich and 11 were massacred. Coaches and wrestlers, fencers were brutally slaughtered by a Palestinian terrorist group called Black September. The Munich massacre is infamous. There's been a lot of debate over the years whether or not the Olympics should continue to pause and reflect on this. It's something that we are adamant that they should. It of course was particularly poignant and emotional for Israelis because it took place on German soil where just, you know, a few decades ago we were decimated, we were wiped out. But as we cheer on Team Israel and bring those medals home, guys, we will pause and we will remember the 11 victims of the Munich massacre.